thank you, Father. We thank you that we'll get something from the Word of God as we receive communion as a church family and as we consecrate and set ourselves apart for the new year. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 22 is the verse I want to read. But leading up to that, Jesus is talking about the Good Shepherd. And I was looking at this today, and it says in verse 22, in the middle of this, the Good Shepherd, and after it, talking about the Good Shepherd, right in the middle of it, like it doesn't even seem as though it should even belong there, Jesus says, it says, the Gospel of John, the writer, John says, now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. I mean, it's like, why is that there? I just couldn't even figure that out, you know. But God showed me something about it, which is really not what I want to talk about, but I'll share it with you anyway. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, and the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, he just spent 20-some verses telling him that he's the Good Shepherd. Hello? I don't understand it. And they still have a little doubt in their head. But, you know, this is in there. Let me tell you about that feast, first of all. It's the Feast of Dedication. And the Feast of Dedication is what the Jewish people are celebrating right now, Hanukkah, okay? And it's the only time, really, that it's mentioned in the Word of God. It's called the Feast of Lights, the Feast of Dedication, actually the Feast of Renewing or Renovation. And I think it's you know, we're going to talk about consecration tonight, that it's put in there, you know. And Hanukkah is not one of the seven feasts that God had given to Israel. You know, Hanukkah is the Feast of Lights. And it's only mentioned in this gospel, and it was appointed by Judas the Maccabees to commemorate the purification of the temple after it had been defiled in about 164 B.C. This fella, Antiochus Epiphanes, had come in there, and he overrun Israel, killed 40,000 people, took 40,000 slaves, and sacrificed a pig in the temple, and spread all the juice from the pig and defiled the temple. 2 years later, the Maccabees come and they get Jerusalem back, and they spend 8 days purifying the temple and rededicating it back to the work of the Lord. Now you say, wow, you know, they're consecrating it, dedicating it. And that's a really an important word, because we are the temple of God. I'm not going to, you know, we are the temple of God today. All right, throughout the Word of God, you look in the Old Testament, it talks about temples in the Old Testament, but through the New Testament, we'll look at some verses here in a couple of minutes, that says specifically we are the temple of God. But coming back to this, Jesus, this is put in here because it's talking about dedication. And there's one little verse towards the end of the chapter, verse 36, all right? And it says, well, I'll read verse 35, and it says, and if he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father sanctified? And that word sanctified means set apart, dedicated. So Jesus is talking about the Good Shepherd who was separated, who was going to be sacrificed and put to death on the cross. And he brings up that one thing John mentions and ties the purification of the temple to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who in turn, if you read that whole chapter, talks about the sheepfold and those that are not of the sheepfold, who are the Gentiles. So it's really, he's talking about us, how we need to be set apart, how we need to be consecrated. Do you follow where I'm coming from? And Hanukkah started on December this year in 2016, December 24th. And ironically, it started at sundown, December 24th, and it ends January 1st, 2017 at sundown. And I think it just the way the whole thing just came together, I kind of liked it. And so again, it wasn't one of the seven Jewish feasts, but it's in there. It's a traditional feast that the Jewish people do, and it's all to commemorate the temple being rededicated back to the service of the Lord. And that's what they're celebrating for these 8 days during Hanukkah. And I think that's great. Now, collectively, getting us into the New Testament part, collectively, we are the temple of the living God. The Word of God is very specific about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Got to come to that realization. God dwells in us. He doesn't do this. Church is not where God dwells. It's where God's people dwells. God's here because we're here, because he's resident in each one of us. See, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, and God dwelt in a temple. He was in the Holy of Holies. He was in the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. That's where the presence and the power of God dwelt. Now he dwells in us. And so it was so important for them during that 164 BC to rededicate that temple, because that's where the power of God was. All right. Now, looking at our own lives, this verse says we are the temple of the living God. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20 says, "Flee sexual immorality, every sin that a man does outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you?" The Holy Spirit is in us, whom you have from God. You are not your own. So you are not, you are a vessel owned by God to house his power. "For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, "In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." God, you know, the Bible says, let everything be established out of two or three witnesses. We just looked at two. There's a lot more. Three, actually, that we are the temple of the living God. And there are some stipulations that we should go by, okay? Excuse me. Can I read some more? Okay, good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, excuse me, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fit together grows into the holy temple of the Lord." So now all of us, see, he was talking about us individually as temples. Now all of us together make up the body of Christ, the temple of Christ, okay? And again, throughout the book of Exodus, in Leviticus, it talks about consecration and consecrating. And the word consecration simply means to separate oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with God. That's where to separate. So if it's going to hinder our relationship, that's mine. Got the P on it, perfect. I mean, pastor, I'm sorry. Huh? No, it says PNC, politically correct. Okay, anyway, praise the Lord. Yes. All right, what's it mean? Separation of oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with the perfect God. And consecration also carries the connotation of sanctification, holiness, and purity. And that's a mouthful. And the importance of being consecrated or pure in our relationship with God is emphasized in the book of Joshua. You know, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, okay? In the wilderness, they were about to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land, which they're fighting about now, still over there today. Why don't they just read the Bible? I don't understand that. Just say, listen, you all get out of here. This is ours. You could have all the rest of the property. You're not touching this 90-mile strip of property. You can't have the Gaza Strip. You can't be in Palestine. Get out. But nobody's got the moxie to say it. Anyway. They were about to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. After 40 years being in the desert, and they were given a command and a promise. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself. In other words, set yourself apart. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So this tells me a little something. When I stay consecrated, separated myself to God, I can expect God to do amazing things for me. See, it's not rocket science. It's not hard. It's just following the leader's orders. All right? And so upon consecrating themselves, at that point, the children of Israel were assured that whatever God promised, he was going to do for them. All right? And the Lord promised he would do amazing things. Amen. Just that he opened up the Red Sea. He stopped the Jordan River. The walls of Jericho fell down. And as long as they were separated, as long as they were consecrated, everything was going great for them. And as you read through the book of Joshua, you get to a point where a little army beat them. Because they overtook, God says, listen, consecrate yourselves. And when you go into Jericho, the whole land of Jericho is yours, except for the stuff that's in Jericho. That is, the Hebrew word for that is karam. And that means consecrated, separated to God. Don't touch it, it's mine. It was the tithe. It was a type and shadow of giving God 10%. Okay? So, what did they do? This little guy, Achan. Now you want to know where we got Achan pains from? Achan kept something from Jericho and hid it in his tent. And all of a sudden, they go against this little army called Ai. And they figured, they're just a little army, and we don't have to send a whole, I'm not going to send 20,000, 30,000 people. We'll just send a squad up there and take them out. Well, didn't happen that way. They got their butts slaughtered. And they came back. Joshua prayed. He said, God, why? How could we lose to this little army? He said, there's sin in the camp, my friend. See, they were no longer consecrated. And the amazing wonders that God was doing stopped. That's why it's so important for us. As we move from 2016 into 2017, that so we could really believe God for the amazing things to take place in our life, we need to consecrate ourselves to God. And we need to do it on a daily basis. And really, when they went in there, that was the beginning of miracles. You really, that was not, I mean, when I think about them crossing over the Jordan River, he says, when you step, as you step, the water is going to stop. That's like God telling us to go up to the top of the Empire State Building and take a step out. you won't fall. Jordan River at that time of the year was a raging. The floods were coming down. It wasn't like a little, you know, it wasn't a creek. It wasn't like Cedar Creek. Okay? It was at flood stage, water's gushing, and God says, every time you take a step, it's going to be dry land. Because I hear these people say, well, the reason it dried up is because the water was dammed up down at one end and it stopped the flow. People just want to discount the word of God. He says, as you step, it will dry up. So every step they took, it dried up. And 1 million men plus women and children went across. And it wasn't a 5-minute trip. Okay? And so God says in Psalm 77, your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles, and you display your power among the people. Love that. So the Bible calls believers to be holy people and separated people. He says, like we said before, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And being and remaining consecrated is a critical component in our relationship with God. It's something we have to do every day. Paul brings it out in Romans chapter 12, where he says, therefore I urge you, brethren, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing or the consecrating or the separating of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So in other words, we as believers in Christ, the act of consecration, it's just not a prayer we're going to read here tonight. It's a daily operation in our lives. Every time we get up, every morning, we should say, God, I consecrate, separate myself to you today, to be used, that your will be done in my life. Lead me, bring people across my path. Doesn't mean you get up this morning and go, oh, God's not telling me to go to work. No, because God will, because people get a little squirrely on you, like, you know, like, but no, God will bring people to you at work. God will bring people to you in Costco. He'll bring people to you in ShopRite. He'll bring people to you in the beauty parlor. He'll bring people to you. My wife last week was in Costco. And I don't know how this whole thing went about, but she started talking to some woman, and she was having a problem. Her son was having a problem with drugs and addiction. And my wife did. I don't even know how the conversation came about. My wife was looking at stuff for the kids. God has an amazing way of doing things. Just absolutely amazing. You wonder, why did God put people in your path? Because you got something to give them. If God isn't putting people in your path, you're empty. Hello? Listen, not to digress too much, but I have my friend Billy and his wife Laura here. And I was sitting minding my own business on the beach in Florida. And this Canuck, they're from Canada, comes up to me, starts talking to me. He goes, what do you do? I says, I'm a minister. And he, what? I guess he never met a real live minister before, sitting on a beach in a bathing suit. But anyway, listen, you might thought that's a strange thing, but his wife was going through something. He was going through something. What's that, 5 years ago? At least 5 years ago? And he said, you know, I'm going out of the country. My wife's going to be down there for a month. My wife was down there for a month and ministered to her every day. And we've been living in that complex for 20 years and really never ministered to anybody. So you never know. That's just one example, and I just wanted to pick on them anyhow. Because he won't open up his mouth in church. When I get out the door, he'll go nonstop, but that's besides the point. But the thing about it is, God brings people. I wasn't expecting to meet Billy Refka in Hallandale, Florida. But God knew that we had something they needed at that particular time in their life. And since that time, it's been reciprocal. Okay? But it's my point being, it's so important to consecrate yourself every day. We're going to do it tonight corporately, but then it's something you got to do every day. And it's no special form. You don't have to get up and, you know, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to put it up on the screen for you. But you don't have to memorize that prayer. It's your heart. God's looking at your heart. Okay? So, again, the act of consecration involves our lives being a living sacrifice to God. We are totally separated from the defilement, and each day we're to live our lives holy towards God. Amen? So, as we come into this new year, I can't think of a better way, really, to position ourselves. It's like, you know, when planes land, they have to position themselves to come in for a landing. Well, we need to position ourselves to be in the runway zone to be a blessing to somebody and to receive a blessing. Because it works both ways. And coming together as a church family and consecrating ourselves to God. And this is something we do in faith. You know, as we pray in faith tonight, I believe the power of God will go into action that will allow us to live a supernatural spiritual life as 2017 goes on. And you'll see God do amazing things in your life. Amazing things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we have a better covenant based on better promises. That's what we have, and I think that's just so great. And we need to remember three things, and that's this. We're to understand that we are under grace. We need to understand that we have a better covenant because it's based on the blood of Jesus. And number three, we walk by faith and not by sight, as Marcel said. And I can't think of a better way of starting off the new year than by consecrating ourselves to the Lord as a church family. It's not about New Year's resolutions. People make them all the time. They last about a week. Okay? You know, so I don't even make them anymore because they don't work. You know, but it's about getting up every day for the next 365 days and saying, Lord, here I am, consecrating my day to you. That's what it's about. Your will be done in my life. Let Jesus shine through me today. Lead people to me that need help. Bring people across my path that I could bless in some way today. It might be as simple as being out in a restaurant and somebody being by themselves and the Lord say, you know what, buy them a cup of coffee. Excuse me. And do this every day, every day. So what we're going to do, music ministry, you come back up here. We're going to, ushers, I have something else for you to do. Okay, I'll take care of it. I want to start passing out the communion elements. Okay, and as we pass out the communion elements, they'll be playing in the background. Then we're going to pray the prayer of consecration and dedication to the Lord, and then we're going to have communion. Hallelujah. Okay, let's say this out loud together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We come to you with a humble and grateful heart. We thank you for all the blessings you have given us through the redemptive work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we get ready to close out the year of 2016, we come individually as your children and collectively as your church to dedicate and consecrate ourselves and Abundant Grace Church to you for this new year, 2017. We set ourselves in agreement with your holy written word, and tonight we commit ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is our reasonable service. We declare that we will not be conformed to this world, but will be transformed by the renewing of our minds by your word, that we may prove what your good and acceptable and perfect will is for our lives. We realize we are bought with a price. Therefore, we glorify you in our body and in our spirit, which belongs to you. And because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people, we will bring forth praises to you, because you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. We will not yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present ourselves to you as those who are alive from the dead, and ourselves as instruments of righteousness to you, our God. We thank you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to go forth into this lost and dying world to be witnesses with power to overcome all of life's temptations, with power to be victorious through life's challenges, and power to have boldness to preach the gospel and be instant in season and out of season. So tonight, we dedicate and consecrate ourselves to you and ready to go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do and be what you want us to be. So we declare that your will be done in our lives and in Abundant Grace Church every day of 2017. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to receive communion. Here you go, baby. Okay, praise the Lord. Father God, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father God, tonight we dedicated ourselves to you, and we dedicate ourselves and consecrate ourselves every day of 2017, that your power would flow through us, that we would be blessings to people. And Father, we receive this emblem of your body as our covenant with you, Father, and we receive it tonight in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus also said, the new covenant in my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for a new and better covenant, an everlasting covenant based on better promises. And Father, we thank you that we can be your instruments in a lost and dying world, that we can be a light that's not hid under a bushel basket, but it's set on a table for the world to see. The church could be a light so it be set on a hill so the world can see. And Father, tonight we ratify this covenant that we have with you, and we consecrate ourselves in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.